The Mountain Gardener is paid for by Waters Garden Center and is solely responsible for its content.
Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. And we're getting close, so I see that my roses have heavy buds on them, large. I mean, as soon as this thaw happens, they're going to start leafing out. I mean, within days, literally. So it's a good time to plant roses, especially pre-rooted type of roses. This is when you get your most exotic or new varieties of roses. So they've landed at the garden center this week and available for planting, even in the cold. As soon as this snow thaws, the ground is going to be so easy to work because the ground didn't freeze. The snow lighted on it. There was no frost line, no ice line in the soil. And so the snow came and we had a foot and a half at the garden center here in Prescott. And so that has been slowly melting. There's a little bit left. My backyard, there's a lot left. My front yard is more sunny. Is just about melted. So we're in the shady spots. It's going to stick around for a while. But as it melts, it permeates. It just penetrates deeply into the soil. And so it makes it real easy to plant a new tree, real easy to plant roses and these big spruce trees, larger things that need a big hole. This is your chance. And they're going to like planting. The soil is moist. You're going to add some compost to that. So it'll keep the soil from compacting back down. It'll keep it hydrated. It'll attract the worms. There's a lot of benefit to it. So then when they do finally wake up, they're going to go, whoa, hey, look at this. This soil's nice and rich. It's moist. You know, I think I should bloom and grow here. And so lilacs, your big hedgerows of Arizona cypress, junipers, roses, peonies are in. You can put all those things in right now. Oh, but Ken, it's winter. It's cold out. They don't care. They're cold. They love the cold. They like that. That's why you're planting. That's why you live in a four-season climate. You've got plants that like growing in four-season climates, including cold winters. And that's the time to plant those things. I did notice quite a bit of damage from that snow. So the snows from this point through March, or first part of April, kind of when we can see a snowy, wet cycle, the snows are extremely heavy, like this last storm. That's very common. And so it lighted on top of some of these branches, and they just snapped. And so I'm seeing a lot of damage on elms, especially the wild, the Siberian or Chinese elms. Those are kind of a trashy tree because they break so easy. They easily get disease. They throw seed everywhere. We don't even sell them at the garden center, but they grow naturally throughout the area. The ones I had in my yard, I cut them down first thing, and then I keep them from coming back because they're such a weedy tree. They're also called a widowmaker, and so they tend to break branches in wind and heavy snow. The same thing can be said about willows. Globe willows or weeping willows, they're very soft wood. And so that snow lights up on there and the branch gives way. Cottonwoods, especially your big ones, the Siouxland cottonwoods, those ginormous ones. I've personally nearly had one tried to kill me. Huge branch in a windstorm came down and just smacked like 10 feet right behind me, right where I'd walked. It's kind of, I don't do that anymore. I don't walk underneath trees that big. Soft wood trees, that's where you're better off planting maples. They're not prone to that. They're harder, stiffer. The branch structure is such that they don't break. Ash, locust, Bradford pears. These are all, stronger, bigger trees with stronger branches that are less prone to break. If you did have some damage, not to worry. If you see that branch, you gotta cut that out. You're gonna have to prune your way out of that damage. So if it's sitting there limp, laying down, not quite broken in two, but it's obviously splintered, you gotta get up and go to the next Y or next branch structure and just cut it off. If it's really a big hole that it's left in that canopy, in that tree, well then you're fertilize right now. So you'll have to grow your way out of that damage. It is time to, you should feel the pressure to get done with your pruning. You are down to the wire at this point. So if you're cleaning up, opening up your fruit trees, trying to get the shape of your shade trees better, getting your vines back, cutting back your perennials, your ornamental grasses, you should feel the pressure. So the second you can get out there, start pruning. The concern I've had several customers have is they're worried about making a mistake. You cannot make a mistake while pruning. You're more prone to under prune. You make the mistake by not pruning enough than to prune too much. Because fertilize, if you simply throw a handful of all-purpose plant food, that 7-4-4 mix underneath, it's going to shoot up. It's going to take that same root structure and use all those nutrients and just grow like crazy. So you can literally grow your way out of it because it doesn't have to support as much top growth anymore. So you can put all that energy from the roots up through the trunk and grow even more. That's the reason that you prune back so heavily. Grapes, berries, these kind of things that put on new fruit on a big new cane. That's why you're cutting back. So it forces all the same root, pushes more energy, creates more new canes or stems or branches, and so you get more fruit. So that's kind of critical, actually. You need to do that. Your fruit trees need to be opened up. If not, you'll get disease and spots and things that happen. So they need to see the sun and the air in between a peach tree, an apricot, a nectarine. They want to see the plums, or you'll get the most famous is called shot hole. It looks like you took a shot kind of like poof right through it, and you see little holes through it. It's a bacterial thing that's eating the sugars in the leaf of that tree. It doesn't kill it. It just makes it look a little rough. It grows its way out of it typically. But if you simply prune and open up that branch structure, you get less. It can just breathe better. So yeah, you should feel the pressure. Start doing that. If you had a major branch at the trunk level, that's a hard one. So let's say you had a double branch and it split in two, maybe it didn't fall to the ground, but it's kind of there. A little insider tip, I fixed a couple trees that have done that, and this is kind of sound funky. Just bear with me for a second. So you head down to the hardware store, and you get a piece of all thread. So they make this big, long, it's like a nut, a bolt, with thread all the way through it, and you can put a nut with a washer on both sides. So I'll literally just take a drill, usually it's about a half inch, drill it all the way through the trunk. Put your all thread through the tree and then take some big nuts with some washers. I just simply crank it down until it brings that thing back up, back together. I've actually had some trees go decades. In fact, the all thread finally disappeared because the tree kept growing around the all thread. You got to remember, you don't want to take a chainsaw through that area. It'll be bouncing around. You see sparks, but it's an easy way, a good way, a viable way. It doesn't hurt the tree way to drill a hole through it. Trees don't feel that. In fact, the only living tissue on a tree is that outer cambium layer just underneath the bark. It puts on a new ring of wood every year. And so that's the new living piece of that. So to put a little pinhole through that, it's not even a big deal. The plant doesn't even feel it. The rest of the inside of that tree is pretty much dead material. Really what it forms is as that material fades and it puts on that new set of wood, the interior really turns into straws. It's this carbohydrate kind of stuff that just wicks water up and down the length of that tree. It's made to be, it's not a spongy thing, but it just actually, I just think of it as a whole bunch of straws put together so that water can go up and down the tree. That's what the inside of the tree is. It's not actually living material. It's last year's material left over to take water up and down or nutrients up and down the tree. Trees are fascinating, just fascinating how they're designed. That's why bark beetle are so dangerous in a pine tree. They get underneath the bark and they're only focused on the living tissue part. They're eating just underneath the bark, and if they eat all of that, they girdle the tree dies. It just literally you cut off a lot of the nutrients just underneath the bark. The living material can't get up and down the tree. So the tree fades all at once, like in May, just like in a few days, coop collapses. We have a lot in store for you. That's how you take care of trees, pruning. I'll be right back with Lisa Waterslang for this.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
Waters Garden companion plants for the month are poppy, columbine, purple plum, and our perfumed lilac.
The fragrance will remind you of visits to grandmother's house.
A truly outstanding lilac for the large flowers and captivating fragrance, and super easy to grow.
She is in a class by herself, even in the hottest of sun locations.
The more sun she receives, the more flowers you'll have.
Perfumed lilac can only be found at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe bees and monarchs are in danger and we can save them at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
We're back with Lisa Waterslang in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions. What are your neighbors asking, talking, thinking? And so we can glean a lot. In fact, the garden classes each Saturday, I kind of hang out until everyone's, some folks are kind of more a little on the shy side and they won't ask a question. Others dominate the whole conversation. So there's this pot of people around me right after class gets done. And we just learn from each other back and forth and people listening mm-hmm. in. Some don't even have a question. They just want to listen in. So we thought that'd make a good segment. We should just glean off the best questions and share them. So Lisa, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah. So you should share.
Yeah.
You just got back from Texas. Yeehaw. Our youngest grandson mm-hmm. just turned one.
Right.
How was
Benicio.
That?
Benicio turned one. It was so much fun. So I went because first birthdays are momentous. You have to enjoy those.
And number one, lots of cake on the face.
He didn't really do that.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's a very neat child.
He's a beef jerky kind of guy, not a cake guy.
So I went to Austin to visit for a few days, had a lot of fun, and now I'm back.
Yeah. Welcome. Glad to have we missed you. The dogs missed you.
Yeah. Well.
So. Glad to have you back in the studio.
Glad the dogs did.
What kind of garden questions do we have?
Sure. So our first question is from Patrick. He lives out in the Dewey-Humboldt area. And his basic question is there any shade tree that will survive only on rainwater?
Oh, okay. So Patrick, good. Yeah, you've got some native ones out there. Shade trees, though. You see. Big trees need big roots, which need big water, which means big foods, which means they're big. Everything's right. big about them. Mm-hmm. And they grow so fast. The native one that grows out in that area gets about 15 to just shy of 20 feet is desert willow. That's a wild one. Just on the side of the road, you'll see a wild, it grows kind of shrubby looking, so multi-stemmed. Mm-hmm. You could grow it as a single trunk as well and then force it. A little bit of training, be about a 15-foot shade tree. Mm-hmm. A true shade tree, I always think of as 30, 50 feet or
right,
more.
Taller.
Those, your hardiest varieties, hardiest of all of them, I would say of all the kind of true shade trees would be locusts.
Yeah.
So there's a golden locust or honey locust sometimes. Now, be careful with your locusts because if you don't get a named variety, a hybridized one, they have huge bean pods on them.
Yeah.
The golden locust, we've bred that bean pod out of it, and so now it just has this glorious gold color in the spring, turns to green, nice umbrella shape, a true shade tree, takes that wind, and then its fall color is gold again. Then it's deciduous. It'll lose its leaves in the winter. It's about to probably take off first part of April, I guess, would be a time it would start to leaf out. Depends on the weather. In Dewey, you'd be a few days ahead of it. But locust, probably the hardiest of all of them. The secret for you is going to be getting it from that container. Its only home has known is this bucket. You need to get those roots out into the surrounding soil so it becomes hardy to where it can live off the rainwater. Now, if you're rain harvesting, that is, you're taking the roof water and capturing it and then using that, that would be a great choice. If you just want it to survive by itself all alone, right off the way, even desert willow, the native one, is going to maybe struggle with that until it gets its roots in the surrounding soil. Mm-hmm. So the secret's going to be, and it takes about two growing seasons, so two springs. So you need to plant it now, it'll root. You get to get through next spring's rooting, and then usually it'll go on its own at that point. So kind of depends on soil, some variables. Got to leave myself a back door to go, oh, in case it dies, wasn't my fault. Usually they're going to root out enough to go down that path. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want a large native that's evergreen, that could be a shade tree. We use it to block. We use it to screen things. Gets up about 20 feet tall, 12 feet wide. It's truly a big tree. Is Arizona cypress. And that one does grow wild here. It would do quite nicely, could shade. But traditionally, a shade tree is a leafy deciduous tree. You know, they grow a little faster, get the canopy, and then you get the solar gain mm-hmm. in the summer because the leaves drop in the winter. Then the summer, it puts the leaves on, and then it shades everything. So I would say come talk to us, take a picture of the spot, and we'll look to see what else is growing in that area. We'll go, yeah, boy, if that oak tree will grow there, this one will grow there too. But I would say for you, Patrick and Dewey, you're looking at desert willow, Arizona cypress, your locust, golden locust. And I would say there's a pin oak. There's a native oak that grows here too. Oaks have very deep roots. They're very robust. They're very tough. If it goes into a drought cycle, it might not grow as fast that year. But then when the rains do come, it takes off again. So it kind of ebbs and flows. So come talk to us and we can help you get the right tree for you. Easy. Okay. And you can plant, I would say, the sooner you can plant, if you're going to rely more on nature, the more months you can root out before the month of June, because June's the hottest month. That's the month that's the hardest to grow things. So if you can root out, plant it now and get all that spring, you can grow 18, 24 inches of roots in the surrounding soil before June. That's going to help you have a hardier tree going through that heat. Then the monsoons come and the pressure's off. It's it. That June, that doggone June is hot, dry, and the rains haven't come yet. So come see us, Patrick. You know where we're at, right? In Heard, Prescott, just by the hospital.
Okay. Are you done? Okay. Next question is from Tony. So he lives on about an acre of land out in Chino Valley. He wants to put in several fruit trees, like 5 to 6. And his question is, how much width do you need between each tree?
Good question. So an acre, you should have plenty of room, Tony. You're good go. Now, we should tell folks, the definition of an orchard is over 6 trees. So 7 trees or more equals, I'm an orchard grower. I got an orchard of trees back there. I produce all my own produce. If you're into that, you're just a backyard garden. So, Tony, go for the orchard. You're going to space them, whether it's an apple, a pear, a cherry, apricot, peaches, nectarines, plums, even almonds. They're all going to grow in Chino Valley really, really well. They love it out there. They love that soil. They love the wind. They just produce. They like the sun mainly. Just got so much sun that produces beautiful fruits. You're going to probably at the minimum about 15 feet up to 20 feet, somewhere in there. So I'd say 20 feet in between for standard size fruit trees. If you're going semi-dwarf, you can cheat that down to 15, maybe 14, somewhere in there, unless you're going to commit to pruning heavily every year. So we've had some of ours. We've planted every 8 feet, and we just knew we'd let the canopy get up to size and we would cut it back every year, not let it get larger than that. But just for Tony's question, in Chino Valley or anywhere, you're probably at 15 foot centers between spacing. That's not going to keep them from touching. It's going to reduce. It's going to increase your harvest. It's just going to be better. 15 feet.
For standard.
For standard. Yeah. Actually, for semi-dwarf, I'd say 20. Okay. For standard. You get a big apple or pear, yeah. They get big. Those are 25, 30-foot trees. They need a little bit more spacing. But if they're semi-dwarf, they're going to be semi. The difference is standard is going to be your standard size your grandparents grew. They had no other choices but standard size trees. Then we introduced semi-dwarf. So we're grafting onto a different kind of rootstock that controls how big that plant gets. So we'll take that Bartlett pear. There's a standard that gets 30 feet tall, and then we'll graft to a different rootstock. Now we have a semi-dwarf Bartlett pear. Same exact fruit. The tree, the structure changes. And so that's going to typically be about 20, 25% shorter than a standard tree. It's still a large tree, so big, but it's more manageable to pick the fruit with a fruit picker. You don't never need a ladder with a semi-dwarf. You do with the standard if you let it go. Then you've got genetic dwarf.
Yeah.
These are truly, truly pint-sized trees. They are tiny. Now, genetic dwarf, the fruit, so a peach tree, it's the same size peach. The fruit is not shrunk down, just the format of the foliage, the size of that tree is shrunk down. So you got standard, semi-dwarf, and genetic dwarf. Genetics we typically use in containers, cutesy flower beds, or kind of an accent piece. So there we go. That's we're out of time, just like that.
We are out of time.
Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners. Be right back.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens.
Fruit cocktail trees turn any backyard into a veritable farmer's market.
At Waters, we've grafted onto one tree different types of cherries, apples, and pears for easy backyard fruit picking.
These small fruit trees grow in containers just off the patio in smaller yards. Anyone can grow a fruit cocktail tree.
You'll find braided cocktail trees with multiple fruits beautifully braided into one tree.
Fruit cocktail trees are ready to plant at Waters Garden Center in Prescott and watersgardencenter.com.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Hi, this is Barry. Join me for lunch every Saturday at 12 o'clock for the Prescott Palette. That's every Saturday at 12 o'clock on KQNA, 1130 AM, 95.5 FM, 99.9 FM, and KQNA.com, as well as the mobile app.
We believe no one is a failure who has friends at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
So each month, I curate a group of plants, companion plants. They look good in that particular month. So we have 12 palettes, 12 sets. And February is kind of a challenge because you're mainly dealing with evergreen stuff. Because March, things start to leaf out and bloom. Your forsythia are in bloom. The winter blooming jasmines are all in color. Daffodils are up. February, you're just on the cusp. You'll start to see some leaf growth on your roses, that kind of thing. But fruit trees are not blooming yet. Lilacs aren't open yet. They've got big buds. They might be cracking, but they aren't in bloom yet. So the palette for February, we focus on Arizona cypress. We've got Austrian pine, this beautiful. It's like a ponderosa pine, pint-sized. So it gets up to about 35 feet instead of 100 feet, but it holds its foliage right down to the ground. It's gorgeous, long needle, rich green. It's great for screening. So it's really the fastest growing of the pine trees. You've got mint julep juniper. This is a very large juniper. We use it for hedging screening. It's 6 foot plus size, and you cannot kill that thing. It is it's just a tough little plant. Red clusterberry cotoneaster. Now, Cotoni aster, this is a big one. So we've got native Cotoni asters that grow here. There's a lot of them. This one is not the native, but it thinks it is, but it's much, much larger. Most of the native ones get up to about hip high to ground covery kind of things. This one's big and it is robust. It doesn't get disease. Elk, deer, antelope, they don't eat it. So it's got a taste they don't like. So it's much better in that regard than, let's say, red tip photinia. They call it red cluster Cotoni aster because in the spring, usually in March, it'll burst open with these clusters of flowers, and each of those flowers gets a red berry, and it's holding those berries right now. Actually, the birds are starting to eat the berries off of that plant, and so they kind of sometimes they get a little drunk on the fermented juice berry, but it's a bird attractor. It's like a party in your backyard. They just love it. The one I wanted to talk about, there's two. There's a Calgary carpet juniper. It's a real low-growing ground cover type of juniper that is very pretty, very green. It's really good for a lawn replacement. You know, we all have these rock lawns out there, and they're just sterile and dusty. And so you need some low-growing kind of ground covery kind of things around that to soften up all of that rock. Calgary carpet's really good at creeping in between boulders. It takes the heat. There's no bugs that get on it. Rabbits aren't going to eat it. It's just got a lot going on it. I've got several rental properties. I like to use ground cover junipers because they're so robust. The tenants don't kill them unless a dog pees on them. You know, Great Dane uses it as his spot. Had that happen once, but rare, very rare. And so it grows really, really well. And we've got them. It's time to grow. You want to see what they look like now in winter? You come into the nursery, you look and go, yeah, I like that green. I'll take three of them. Let's go. And so they're good at holding in erosion control. That hillside where the snow is melting off, you're getting all the ruts coming through. It holds that thing right in. And a Calgary carpet, one plant will grow to about 6 to 8 feet wide. It's a good plant for drip systems because one drip emitter will cover this huge 6x6 area that holds the soil in place. Pretty green, softens up all the heat. It's another negative with AstroTurf. It's pretty. Man, does it gets so hot in the summer. And so sometimes you put some of these lower growing things around it and it'll cool things down some for them. That's where you're creeping Cotoni asters, you're creeping junipers. Another companion that goes with Calgary carpet juniper is boxwood. And surprisingly, the reason I mentioned boxwood, the reason I like boxwoods this time of year, they're a pollinator. So the bees are going to come out as soon as we get some warm days. Looks like we're going in here in the Central Highlands, this central part of the state. We're starting to warm up. So we're going to get 60 degrees this weekend or close to it. And so the bees are going to be out and they're going to be foraging. They're going to be hungry. And so they need something to grab the pollen off and take it back to the hive. And boxwood, surprisingly enough, they're not famous for their blossoms, but the bees love the taste of that flower. It's usually the flowers. This is a nice evergreen, rich, waxy leafed shrub. Gets up about, I don't know, knee high to hip high or so. We use them often in like English gardens, that kind of thing. So you kind of borders up to the front of your house around the patio. But inside, up and down the stems, it'll start to bloom. And the bees just go after that, forage after it. It's got a slight fragrance to it. But if you're into pollinators, you're into attracting the wildlife into your yard, boxwoods are great evergreen color. And then it's a pollinator. Early, early spring. I say rosemary is another one that's like that. It has that real pretty blue flower to it. It's a very early bloomer, so the bees love that right off the bat because there's so little for them to forage for. So encourage, help the bees in your backyard by planting boxwoods, rosemaries, and Calgary carpet juniper. Anyway, we'll be back right after this. Hold on. Don't go anywhere.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Waters with the Plants of the Week and our double pink Linton Rose.
Stunning double pink flowers dangle from this amazing perennial.
And this flower stands apart from the rest for its tremendous color impact that starts in midwinter and then holds its blooms right through spring.
So tough, it's rarely bothered by bugs and completely deer-proof.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love new pink perennials, they love to shop.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Welcome back to The Mountain Gardeners, Ken and Lisa Lane. We come each week and just kind of share some garden insight in the landscape. And Lisa takes this entire segment and we just get to see what she is seeing, her garden professional eyes, out in the landscape, in the gardens. And so welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
What do you got for us this week? Are you feeling the spring bug starting to happen?
Well, definitely, especially now that the snow is melting and we've had some beautiful days.
Oh, it's been nice. Yeah.
So yeah, you definitely kind of like, ooh, maybe I want to get out there. And we've got things coming in, plants coming into the garden center. Yeah. So people just know we did get some 1 gallon mammoth pansies in. These are ones we have specially grown. So they're like ready to pop into your containers right now, and they can certainly take this weather. They will be fine with that. We also have Dusty Miller. We have some ornamental kales and cabbages, violas, Johnny Jump Ups, snapdragons. So we've got some really nice color. If you need to refresh your pots and just bring a little color into your world. We got it.
I love those Linton roses that you had covered. What's the other name of that? Linton rose. Hellebores.
Hellebores. Both
so the Latin name. They're striking.
I love
that black one. Mm-hmm. That white with the dusty pink in the middle of it. It's glorious. They're all spring. They're all very early spring to late winter bloomers. This is the time when you find them at garden centers. If you're coming in end of April and May, we're not going to have any of these things you just mentioned.
Right.
We're moving over to geraniums, petunias, and zinnias, and all the summer things. So you plant these things now, and they last until summer hits. Mm-hmm. So finally, in June sometime, at least the flowers, like Linton rose or hellebores, the flower will fade, but the foliage is evergreen.
Right.
So it stays there. It just won't be in bloom
with
that fragrance of snapdragons. I mean, animals don't bother snaps.
That is true.
I mean, deer, javelina, they leave snapdragons alone. So plant those if you're in the forest.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a giant pansy. Oh, that is mammoth pansy. Huge. They're like bigger than a silver dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Do people even understand how big a silver dollar is? Am I talking to only 60-year-old, only our people our age? And all younger folks have never seen. They don't have silver dollars on my Apple Pay phone.
You know, so many places you go, I was in the airport because I was flying to see our grandson, and I bought something in one of the stores and I was going to pay cash for it. And they're like, oh, we don't take cash.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I'm like, and I think that's becoming more and more common, which is a topic for another show.
Yeah.
But speaking of silver dollars, I think it will become a thing of the past.
Even credit cards. You can just have it on your phone. Tap this.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even put the card in the slot anymore. Yeah. You just tap it or everything is tapped anymore. I don't know how secure it is.
It's supposed to be more secure.
Okay.
But what do we know?
Just travel to Eastern Europe to see how secure it really is. Pickpockets are.
Or not.
Anyway, what kind of garden topics we got?
Well, anyway, so yes, we have a lot of those wonderful spring little flowers if you want to redo your pots. But we also got in our fiber pot roses.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So the fiber pot roses are dormant, but they have really nice, usually 3 to 5 real super nice canes on them, good sized canes, which are your starts for your new growth in the spring. And then they're also fully rooted out in their container, fiber container. So I'd probably call it like a 3 gallon container.
Yeah, probably right.
So it's got a nice root system in there, fully formed. So it can go into the ground now and be perfectly happy. It's not like you can, it'd be really hard to kill it. Let me put it that way, unless you just kept it way too wet. But you have so much more forgiveness with these rooted out roses that are dormant to plant this time of year than you do any other time.
Yeah. So fiber pots. So you plant the pot and all. Just take it out of the wrapping, put it in the ground with the pot, and the roots go right through the basically peat moss based a pot. Mm-hmm. And so it's so easy to plant them. They're a good root size. The difference between that and bare root. So we used to sell hundreds of bare root roses. These are roses that basically you rip them out of the ground and they have no roots. There's no soil, no nothing. You put them in the ground and over half of them fail. So if you ever tried that and you're going, I don't have green thumbs. They keep dying on me. It's because you're planting something in a very arid climate without roots. That's, you're doomed from the get-go. The fiber pots we planted last year, rooted them on for a year, and now we've got them at the gardens. They're last year's bare root that we've flushed the new roots out, and that's why the success rate goes off the charts.
Definitely.
Have you got a favorite that you like?
Or? Well, we did get some new ones. We're having Floribunda, tea rose, grandifloras, and some climbers, and some shrub ones. So one of the new grandifloras out there is called Quest for Zest.
Oh, no, that's new. Huh?
It's a yellow grandiflora rose, brand new 2024 selection, and it has a very, cool thing about it is it has a very lemony scent.
Oh, nice.
So that's
yellow with
unusual.
Lemon.
Yeah.
That's
so you
get apropos.
It is. So I would definitely try that one. I love the smell of lemons and that kind of stuff. So it would be really a fun one to try, especially it's a really bright yellow. So definitely would stand out there in the yard and be very, very attractive. One of the more shrub miniature type ones we're getting is called Midnight Fire. So this one has, it's a purple flower, but it has orange over the top of it.
Oh, that's unusual.
Yeah. Ah. So it's just
thus Midnight Fire.
Yeah. Looks really cool. Kind of a variegated, but just unusual color combination.
Yeah.
So that one would be a really nice one to try. We're also getting, there's a climber that is very unusual. It's called Golden Opportunity. It's a climbing rose that's a Floribunda.
Oh, that's cool. Wow, that's unusual.
No, I'm sorry. Wait. No, it's a climber that's a tea rose.
Oh, big flowers.
So it has big flowers on it. So it's definitely going to stand out. It's kind of a gold color, hence Golden Opportunity. But it's the only one of its kind. There are, especially within the group that we buy from, it's the only climber that is a tea rose as well. So really kind of cool.
You know, big old flowers that are fragrant that climb up the side of a barn or trellis or fence.
Right. Definitely. Another really cool climber we're getting is called Rock and Roll. And it's a red and white variegated one. It just really stands out. And it also has a really strong, I don't want to say odor, smell, fragrance.
Fragrance, yeah.
So they rate these on a, like a 1 to 10 scale.
Yeah.
And this one's a 10 out of a 10 for fragrance.
Cool. That's
got
what again? Rock and Roll?
Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
It's a climber with a wonderful little fragrance on there. And then we're getting a couple that a lot of people remember the David Austin roses.
Yeah.
They're a real multi-petaled rose. So they just have a very
almost
distinct
looks like a peony.
Right.
The flower has so many petals.
Yeah.
Looks like a peony.
Right. So we're getting two of those. We're getting the Queen Elegance.
Very nice.
Yes. And it's a pink one that's very multi-petaled. And then also
Annalisa Lane, the Mountain Garden.
Look for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website. Podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com.
Waters Garden companion plants for the month are poppy, columbine, purple plum, and our perfumed lilac.
The fragrance will remind you of visits to grandmother's house.
A truly outstanding lilac for the large flowers and captivating fragrance, and super easy to grow.
She is in a class by herself, even in the hottest of sun locations.
The more sun she receives, the more flowers you'll have.
Perfumed lilac can only be found at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it, too.
We believe in rising early, working hard, and the fruits of our labor at Waters Garden Center.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
So last weekend, I had put together a garden class on how to grow better fruit trees, which ones grow, especially at higher elevations. So the problem with Arizona is we've got so many elevations or growing zones from anywhere from 3 to 4 in the White Mountains, Flagstaff, the high elevations, the ridge lines, all the way down to the deserts, which are 10, 12. And that's going to be how cold do they get and when do they bloom? So fruit trees at high elevation, sometimes they get tricked into blooming too early and they're exposed to frost. And so our average frost dates, even for you folks over in the Verde Valley, you know, Sedona, Camp Verde, Cottonwood, those, or the other side of the hill, Hillside, Kirkland, Skull Valley, you're still have frost well into April. And so the rest of us here in this other parts of Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, Paulden, we're up about 5,000 to 5,500, something like that. We've got frost until first part of May. And so you need fruit trees that will bloom real late in the season so that we get them out of that risk. The challenge we have is you got that box store buyer says, I'm in charge of 50 stores here in the state. Send 50 of those apples to all my stores, each of my stores. And they might be for desert varieties. They bloom real early because they want to bloom in super early so they get them out of that heat of summer. We want them blooming late so we get them out of the risk of frost. So the same fruit tree is not going to be good for every one of those stores. You need, if you're doing fruit trees and doing them well, you really need to do your homework or buy from a reputable garden center. I would say head to your Warner's up in Flagstaff. Go over to Plant Fair over in Payson. Come to Waters here in Prescott. We know which fruit trees, and we're trying to make sure you have success in your backyard. This is one where you really want to get some professional advice, and Google is not a source. OpenGPT is not going to help you. They're going to confuse you. You need local experts or a neighbor that's doing well with that. And you need to talk to gardeners to get it right. And so for your fruit trees, you've got chilling hours. When you look at that, it'll say, oh, plants are programmed to go through so many hours of cold below freezing before they bloom. And so we call them chilling hours. And you want, at this elevation, you're going to want a fruit tree that has, I would say, at least 650 to 700 chilling hours and or more. So get it closer to 1,000 chilling hours, and it's going to bloom the end of April instead of February, first part of March, when you know you've got more frost. And so you cannot grow. This is you poor Phoenix folks, Palm Springs, Tucson. You are not allowed to grow citrus up here. It's just not going to winter over. It's going to die. And so it'll take the summer, but citrus and avocados, everyone wants to grow those. You can't have them. Sorry. They're not going to winter over for you unless you've got a greenhouse. So, you cheat it. You bring it indoors in the garage. Yeah. Then you're protecting it. But if it's outside in the gardens, you want to go with apples and pears. You want to go with cherries, peaches, nectarines, apricots, plums, almonds. You can go with grapes and berries, blackberries and raspberries. All of these do fantastic They love the cold. They're going to go right through like a champion. And then once you figure out what variety, so I love plums. I want to grow more plums. Get the plum you like. And then you look at the chilling hours. You want at least 600, 650 or more. So apricots are always the first ones to bloom in spring. They're just programmed. They bloom first. And then it would be nectarines. Then you go to peaches and cherries and plums. And then you go to apples and pears. There's a rotation. So if you're just starting out, start with the latest bloomers possible. Apples and pears bloom latest in the season, so they are the most consistent at producing fruit every single year. Then I would say it goes to peaches and cherries. So it's kind of the next most consistent because they bloom a little later than apricots and nectarines. So you just kind of look at that. With apricots, I only sell, there's probably 10, 15 varieties. Most of them desert varieties. So, but Tilton, Mormon, and Harcot, those three varieties of apricots do well. They've proven themselves up at this elevation because out of all of the apricots, they're the latest ones to bloom out of all of the apricots. And so we reach in to curate that for you. Again, we want you to have success. We know that you're going to struggle with blooming too early, and you don't necessarily, once they get up to size, you can't cover them. They're just too big. And so you want things that just naturally will produce fruit every year. And so that's kind of the insider tips to that. Now is the time to plant them. The other one to watch is fruit trees need to be at least 5 to 7 years old before they're old enough to start blooming, producing fruit. They got to be a certain age. They're like teenagers. Once they hit their puberty, you know, at about 7 years old, they start to actually change their voice. They start going, "Hey, I'm going to put on some apples here." And so you'll see at a lot of box stores, warehouses, you're going to see cheaper trees. The reason they're cheaper is because they're younger. If you got to hold that tree for 7 years, some of my trees are 10, 12 years old. How long have you been nurturing, watering, caring, pruning, shaping that tree before it comes in? It's, of course, going to be a little more expensive, but it's a fruiting age. A whip is what we call it, a younger tree. Whips are very inexpensive. Those things are, you know, they'll be half the price because they're half the age, but the trunk is going to be smaller diameter. It's not going to have defined canopy or branching. So the other thing is when we actually have these things at the farm, we're actually shaping them every year, twice a year, making sure the structure or the scaffolding on that tree is already defined for you. So if you get a whip, you're going to have to do that yourself and top it, graft it, and kind of nurture it and shape it so it grows into the shape that you want. For the love of gardening, whatever you do, an ugly tree never gets beautiful. It just becomes larger and uglier with age. So if it's got a dog leg, that does not straighten out. It just becomes thicker, bigger, dog-legged, just crooked to it. If it's got an open, bare side to it, that's probably going to keep it that way. So you really do want to hand pick. You really want to get a good quality looking trees, but especially fruit trees. And then when you're planting fruit trees, make sure that they're straight. Don't let them lean. So we get this prevailing southwest wind that blows at us. And so no matter what, they bloom typically, and then they leaf out, and they catch that southwest wind. So you see a lot of fruit trees leaning to the northeast. They just have this lean to it. Then they'll load up with 5 bushels of pears, and they just little drop over. So it's super important that first year to 2 years, make sure that thing grows straight as an arrow, right up. That way, when it loads up with fruit, the weight is distributed over that trunk area evenly. If it starts to lean, it's starting to put pressure on that trunk, and it can literally fall out of the ground. I've seen that more than once where the roots literally leap out of the ground because it just loaded up with so much fruit. A fruit tree can hold hundreds and hundreds of pounds of apples, of peaches. Oh, my gosh. Cherries do unbelievably up here. I mean, the harvest last year was just ridiculous. I mean, it was just over the top. It was so fun. Oh, my gosh. So much canning, so much drying, so many leathers, so much there was so much fresh fruit. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. It's so good. If you leave an apricot on the tree that last week, it just becomes much healthier for you. But those last few bits of sugar make it much tastier. Apples, they'll last a long time on the tree, but they're always picking them early so they are hard. And so they last longer on the shelf in the grocery store. If you keep them on the tree, that last few days, game changer. Fresh fruit is so much better for you, so much healthier, and so much better tasting than store-bought. It's kind of like a tomato, only on an entire on a tree size. It's that. And you're not going to have to worry about, you know, E. coli coming across the border of, because things, as rats got into the bin and now they're poisoning. You know what they've been sprayed with. You know they're organic. You know they haven't been waxed and picked for harvest and or for shelf life instead of for nutrients. Growing your own fruit in your backyard is great. You know, I should mention, I'm out of time. She mentioned cocktail trees. I'll come back after this and mention cocktail trees and what they are right after this.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to the Mountain Gardener. Fruit cocktail trees turn any backyard into a veritable farmer's market.
At Waters, we've grafted onto one tree different types of cherries, apples, and pears for easy backyard fruit picking.
These small fruit trees grow in containers just off the patio in smaller yards. Anyone can grow a fruit cocktail tree.
You'll find braided cocktail trees with multiple fruits beautifully braided into one tree.
Fruit cocktail trees are ready to plant at Waters Garden Center in Prescott and watersgardencenter.com.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe searching Waters plants is better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center.
You've tuned in to the Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
I had mentioned fruit trees that grow up at higher elevations up in the mountains. So it was apples, pears, cherries, peaches, nectarines, apricots, almonds do really well. A few walnuts, pecans, not so much up here. Citrus, definitely not. And so those fruit trees grow here. The thing with fruit trees is they need pollinators. They need a buddy. So you got, if you love Honeycrisp apples, you're going to need a pollinator for that, for it to actually produce fruit. It's got to pollinate each other. It's got a male, one's got a male, one's got a female, and they pollinate, and the bees do all the work, and all of a sudden you've got more apples. You can't have a Honeycrisp cross-pollinate another Honeycrisp. It's got to be a different variety. So Gala, Golden Delicious, Granny Smith's, Macintosh, they all pollinate. The opposite. And so they help each other. So you need the opposite. Some trees will say self-fruitful. A lot of pitted fruits, you know, peaches, all the apricots are self-fruitful. They got male and female flowers on the same plant. So the bees buzz around. They pollinate the whole tree. And so there you only need one. But most, you know, cherries, pears, apples, plums, they need a different variety. And so you need some space to grow these. Well, lots are getting smaller and smaller. And so what we've done is we've now created what's called a fruit cocktail tree. So if you hear cocktail tree, that's where we have grafted several varieties of apples on one trunk. One trunk is growing Granny Smith, Honey Crisp, Gala, Macintosh on the same tree. So now you've got one tree that pollinates itself. It's not natural. We've created this by grafting limbs into that hardy rootstock. And so you'll see a fruit cocktail tree. Or we've some varieties, we've planted three trees in one bucket, and they grow up into one giant trunk with three three trees. Sometimes we'll braid them together. We can have fun with that. I mean, literally, we get bored with plants sometimes. We go, well, no, what can we do? We could create this. And so you'll see fruit cocktail trees at the garden center. This is one that if you're considering that, or you've got a small, you've only have room for one tree, but you want fruit on it, that's the way to go. That's one you do not want to wait. These are so specialized. They're going to be on average 7 to 12 years old trees. We started these things, you know, way back in the middle to, 2015. They're finally here. And so we run out. It's not like you hit a button and the machine cranks out more. So you get good selection now. Good varieties, good sizes, and you get to cherry pick the best quality ones by shopping early. You don't want to wait until May or June or July. I'll be out. I'll have single apple tree. I'll have straight Honeycrisp, but I won't have the fruit cocktail apples that have multiple varieties on the same tree. So it's a limited supply of those kind of trees. You want to catch them early. Last year, I completely ran out. We tried to go grab some more. I called some friends and said, hey, you got any fruit cocktail trees up there at the farm? Found a few more and then completely ran out. And so we've got a few more this year because I think it's because the size of the yards are just smaller. And so we go over all of that. So classes, real quick, every Saturday at 9:30, we have free garden classes. Today, this weekend, it's the 17th. It is Gardening for Newcomers. Next week is evergreens that bloom early. So we'll cover all those evergreens that have flowers on them. And then the spring to-do list, March 2nd. So every Saturday, take a look at those at watersgardencenter.com. You can take a look and get those in too. Subscribe to my newsletter at the front of watersgardencenter.com. There's subscribe. I write a weekly garden column, do daily podcasts. But throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center. We love talking to fans of the show.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week at the same time as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. You can find him throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located at 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Mountain Gardener on the talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM, KQNA.
Hi, Waters with the plants of the week and our double pink Linton rose.
Stunning double pink flowers dangle from this amazing perennial.
And this flower stands apart from the rest for its tremendous color impact that starts in midwinter and then holds its blooms right through spring.
So tough, it's rarely bothered by bugs and completely deer-proof.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love new pink perennials, they love to shop.
Airtime for The Mountain Gardener was paid for by Waters Garden Center, and they were solely responsible for its content.